This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, thanks so much for tuning into the Vintage Truth Podcast today. I'm very excited to talk about this next topic, which is a very controversial topic to some people. Nothing should be controversial if Scripture addresses it or if it involves biblical wisdom. But a lot of people will avoid speaking about anything that relates to the political realm. And granted, the political world that we're in right now is so incredibly polarized and divisive, and there's just almost no area of agreement. And yet, Christians stand at the threshold of an opportunity right now. So I want to talk about how should an American Christian vote. Now, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Obviously, that's your decision. But I am going to talk about how. And when I say how, I mean, what are the things that we need to think about as we think about just voting, period, okay? And again, this is really more of a biblical wisdom issue than it is obviously a political issue, although it certainly applies to that. But I want to go through several things. I want to give you five words that will maybe kind of give you some swing thoughts, to put it in golfing terms, to kind of wrap your head around some principles that might help you as you think through this process. We're coming up on Election Day here in just a few days, and so I think this is a very appropriate message here. First of all, between 35 and 60% of Americans do not vote. So those are people that are either purposely distanced from the political process, they don't care, or they don't know anything. I mean, I know people that they don't even know what's going on right now. I mean, they know there's an election, but they don't know what any of the issues are or any of the, I mean, they know two candidates, but they don't really know what's happening and the implications of what could happen. But anyway, 35 to 60%. In the last election, I'm told, about 56 million evangelicals stayed home. That's not just something to sneeze at. These are people who, for whatever reason, and by the way, and you probably felt like this, I've felt like this in the past, my vote really doesn't matter. You know, I live in a state that always swings this way, and it's always going to be, against my belief. So, I mean, my vote is just, you know, and I know someone else who's voting against, you know, my political beliefs. And so, you know, our votes kind of cancel each other out. But see, that's the thing. The more people that think like that, the more Christians become irrelevant to the political process. So that's one thing to think about. So let me give you this first word. All these words begin with P, by the way. Maybe it'll help you remember it. Here's the first word. The first word is privilege. Privilege. Our country, the United States of America, is very unique in that we have freedoms, and we have been given the freedom to elect our government officials. We've been given the freedom and the opportunity and the open door to actually cast a vote. That's one thing that when you think about it, because not every country has that. There are many countries in the world where either A, you don't get a chance to choose, or B, the elections are so rigged and so corrupt that it really doesn't matter who you vote for. But that's not true here in America. Now, there are some, you know, some people in America who like to rig elections. And we've already seen cases of votes being thrown away in the garbage cans and things like that. And we know that in the past, there have been rigged elections. There have been elections that have been stolen. We know the election for John F. Kennedy. They stole his dad was implicit in stealing the votes in Chicago so that he could sway it in the direction of his son. So, yeah, I mean, voter fraud and all these things, they actually do happen. But that should not keep us from participating in the process, because we have this freedom to do it. And by the way, a lot of people throughout our short history in America have died, have bled and have died on the battlefield defending the values and the ideals of this country called the United States of America. And there are white crosses in cemeteries all across this land of men who have laid down their lives so that our way of life could continue. And one of those ways of life is the fact that we get to walk into a voting booth like I did yesterday and take a little stylus in my hand and punch in the candidate that I wanted to win the election, you know, state and federal. And, you know, that's something that doesn't come free. You didn't have that before 1776, by the way, when we were subjugated to another country and we fought in the Revolutionary War, and we have that now. Well, some countries don't have that. So there's a great privilege that we enjoy. Second word is the word perspective. Privilege and perspective. People say, oh, this is a critical election. Well, I got news for you. Every election is critical. Every election is critical because every election has the potential to drastically alter the course of our country's history. So it's very important that every election not only occurs, but that people participate in it. And by the way, with every passing election that we have, I'm sure you've noticed that our country has become more and more polarized and divisive, but not only that, but also more hostile. And, you know, it can come from both sides, you know, both Republican and Democrat. But there's a lot of hostility. There's a lot of name calling, a lot of character being dragged through the mud, a lot of rumors, a lot of out and out lies told about the other candidate. The way to political victory, it seems in our day, is to lie. And the bigger the lie you tell, the more legitimate it is for your campaign. And I would say this too. Scripture tells us, it's all about perspective. It tells us in 1 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 2 to pray for our leaders. It says in 1 Peter 2 to honor the king. And keep in mind, the king in those days was a godless pagan Caesar. Honor the king. In our country, you know, we like to look back with great fondness on people like Abraham Lincoln, or, you know, people that were fairly noble or did something great, like, you know, Teddy Roosevelt or something like that. We think about these figures, but listen, folks. Number one, every leader that has ever led our country has been a flawed leader, every single one of them. And in recent history, when you look at the cast of characters down through the ages, everybody from Roosevelt to Eisenhower to Kennedy to Nixon, and you just keep going on the list, a vast majority of those people had major character flaws. I mean, but the thing is, in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we didn't talk about the personal lives of our leaders. They were kept from the public, and it wasn't even really used in campaign advertising and campaigns that day, because, you know, everybody from Roosevelt to Eisenhower to Kennedy had mistresses while in the White House. So did Johnson, by the way. And, you know, these were flawed men. Now, some of their policies you may have agreed with, and maybe that's, you know, somebody, or I'm saying you may have agreed with, you may not have been alive back then, but I'm saying you may have liked them in terms of their policies while they were in office, but you really don't want to know what they do behind closed doors. And then all that changed really with Nixon and the Watergate. And then from then on, you know, you got Bill Clinton stuff going on in the Oval Office, obviously. But here's the deal. Gone are the days of the all-American, upright, righteous candidate. Okay? We just don't have that these days on the whole. Now, there are isolated instances in terms of the presidential race. But on the whole, we just don't have that. These are people that they didn't get to where they are right now by being nice. They didn't get to where they are right now by not cutting corners or not making shady deals. That's just the way power is. You know, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But they all had flaws, some more blatant and some more visible than others. And I would just simply say this. When you're looking at the election board here and you're trying to figure out who you would want to elect to be president, Keep in mind that we are not hiring a pastor for our church. We're not hiring someone based solely upon their character. We don't get a little menu that goes, okay, I'd like to add this character to my candidate. You don't get that option. We're not Israel, okay? We're not recognizing a king that God has appointed or whatever. We're a Gentile nation, and we're under a Gentile government. And though our country was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, we still are under the umbrella of Romans 13, where God appoints government for the punishment of evildoers and to protect the innocent. But beyond that, we have to go to word number three, okay? Word number three. We still got privilege, perspective, and the third word is purpose or purposeful. And when I say that, I mean when you vote for someone, know the issues, know what they stand for, what they don't stand for. And, you know, there could not be a greater divide, a greater chasm between the two major parties. And I know there are other parties that are out there, and some have, I'm sure, very admirable platforms and that type of thing. But you need to know the issues. What does this candidate stand for on the issues that mean the most to you? Regardless of what that person is like, regardless of whether you like that person or not, you know, you may like the demeanor of someone, but not like his policies. You know, he may go against the policies you believe in, or you may hate the person's personality, but they stand for some things that you also stand for. And when you weigh all the pros and the cons, you go, well, if I was choosing, if I was making up my own candidate, this would not be the person I would choose. But these are the options that are given to me. You know, it's like when you'd come down for dinner, you know, when you're young and you say, what's for dinner? And your mother would say, well, we're having, you know, chicken pot pie or whatever. And you're like, well, I don't like chicken pot pie. And she's like, okay, well, you can have a peanut butter sandwich. And you're like, well, I don't really want a peanut butter sandwich for dinner. Well, it's chicken pot pie or it's peanut butter sandwich, or you can go to bed without food. Well, that's kind of how elections are. I mean, you might not like chicken pot pie, but that's the best that's on the menu at the moment, you know? So, but you need to focus in on, I would just say, three quick areas on in terms of their physical responsibility. In other words, how are they going to manage the government of the country? Are they going to be economically responsible? Are they really smart on how to grow an economy? Are they just going to tax you to death to get what you want? And a couple of administrations ago, we were under this huge taxation Obamacare. Obamacare just basically stole health care from people who were able to pay for it at the time. It raised their health care costs so great that it's like making another mortgage payment on their house. And then they gave health care to people who were never paying for it. So now the middle class, you know, people, especially self-employed people, no longer have health care because they just simply can't afford it. It's just too expensive. Well, that's an issue. That may be an issue with a candidate for you. How are they, how does their fiscal policies or economic policies affect you personally? So that's an issue. How are they going to govern? How will they govern? Second area is in the area of the military. In order for America to continue to be strong, she has to have a strong military, okay? And that can't happen with someone who's going to cut military. This person has to know that America has to have a strong presence because we live in an evil neighborhood called the world, and if we are not strong, then rival gangs will come and take us over. That's just the way it is. So we have to have a strong military, strong national defense. Third thing I would just say is the area of morality. You know, what does this person believe on some of the most important issues to you in terms of morality? And I think for me personally, the biggest issue of the 21st century is the issue of abortion, of making it not only possible, but achievable to slaughter innocent babies inside their mother's womb, up until the point of and even after that baby is born. This is unconscionable and is evidence of the fact that God is abandoning America, that we have allowed this brutal slaughter to go on. That, for me, is an issue, you know? And if it's an issue for you, you need to look at what the candidates say about abortion. There are other issues that that play into this as well. The whole issue of transgenderism, the whole issue of marriage and what marriage really is. Now, your candidate's not going to hit a home run on all those issues, but you need to find out the ones that are most important to you. So economically, militarily, and morally. Fourth word is the word prophetically. I need to move fast here. But here's the thing that every Christian needs to keep in mind. We're voting in the last days here, okay? We, as Christians, are casting a vote in what might be the last election we ever are a part of. And so we need to make it count. We, as believers, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, with the Holy Spirit working through us as the church, we are the restraining influence on the world. And we have a responsibility to be salt and light in our voting. In other words, to continue to do whatever it takes to preserve the republic under which we live until the point of the rapture. And knowing that we are living in the last days means that we don't have time to bicker about all these little minor things or the things that annoy us about candidates. We just need to cast a vote that ask ourselves, what vote will I cast if I get my candidate in the White House? Will this continue to preserve our nation and give Christians an opportunity to be free, to continue to share the gospel? And will this fight immorality? Will it fight godlessness? Will it fight abortion? Or will this candidate over here promote all these things and basically begin to implode the nation and really plunge us into another dark ages? The truth of the matter is, according to Romans chapter 1, God's abandonment wrath is already on this nation. You need to pick up my book, The End of America? In fact, Harvest House Publishing is offering an incredible sale on this book. From now to December 1st, you can order The End of America? Bible Prophecy in a Country in Crisis, not for $14.99 in its ebook form, but in its ebook form for $2.99. That's all the way till December the 1st. In that book, I go into much great detail about all this. But here's the point. The point is that America is just bailing water before this Titanic eventually just breaks in half and plunges into the icy waters of the North Atlantic. That's what's going on right now. And that end of America thing eventually is going to be the rapture. But until then, we're still afloat. We're still above water. And however you decide to vote, you need to cast a vote that you think will help this nation preserve itself under God, okay? And to think about the fact that more ungodly pagan policies will send her into further darkness, that's another reason why we should vote. Listen, God is not hindered here, by the way. I mean, Isaiah 40 makes it very clear that as far as God's concerned, it really doesn't matter who's president. I mean, the election's not going to affect God's kingdom in terms of God's plan that he's moving forward in the world. I mean, we see in Job 42:2, he says, no plan of God can be thwarted. We see in Daniel 4:35, where Nebuchadnezzar confesses that nobody can stand against God when he decides to do something. So God's plan, God's kingdom is going to go forward, regardless of, you know, Barack Obama coming back, you know, from his political graveyard, or from Kamala Harris becoming president when Joe Biden, you know, kills over of a brain aneurysm, or if Donald Trump is assassinated and all of a sudden Mike Pence is, it doesn't matter in the end. But it does matter that we get a chance to have a part in this process. And believe me, if the early church could come here today and to see that Christians, disciples of Jesus, actually get to cast a vote on who rules over them, they would freak out. They're like, oh, you get to pick your own Caesar? Yeah, we get to do that. So Christians need to make sure we don't abandon the only voice that we've been given politically in terms of influencing leadership and in this country, and don't fail on the stewardship that God has given to you. And then the last thing I'll say is this, the last P word. So we got privilege, perspective, purpose, prophecy, and then finally just the word personally. Vote your conscience, okay? Don't vote out of guilt from what other people said, told you to vote. You vote after examining all these things and searching your own heart. God, what is the vote that you would have me cast? Because you want to do everything according to God's will. Just vote. As I said before, this may be the last election we get a chance to take a part in. So go to the polls, vote however you need to, but make sure you vote your conscience and vote an informed conscience that comes from what Scripture says about government. I hope that helps you in how should an American Christian vote. This is the Vintage Truth Podcast on the Edify Network. Check us out there. God bless. I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.